Hey, this is Jay.
And Aaron.
And Richard.
And we're the VCR kids. We watch movies from our childhood and we see if they still hold up. This week we're watching movie 173. This is also our second movie of Spooktober, and it is Aaron's pick. Aaron, would you like to introduce what we are watching today?
This film is Interview with a Vampire.
The with Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise,
and classic. Christian Slater and Antonio Banderas.
Oh my gosh.
And Kirsten Dunst.
We're just watching movies with only star-studded casts this month, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what made you want to watch this as your last ever Halloween pick for the VCR kids?
Well, we've kind of run through a lot of Halloween movies. The vampires have been on the brain lately because we've been watching What We Do in the Shadows and Midnight Mass.
Spoilers.
They put a giant wing on the thumbnail on Netflix, so it's fine. They made like a giant bat wing. And this movie really gets into a lot of the vampire lore. Has some famous vampires that are recorded in literature, obviously like not Brad real Pitt. Life. No, he doesn't play the famous one.
Well, this was based off a book, right? Anne Rice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a book that is sitting on my shelf and I've never read it.
I don't know most
of the books sitting on my shelf.
I don't know if she invented the character of the vampire Lestat or if like he was in other things before, because he was in the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. So I don't know if like there was like an older story written about him. Do you know what I'm saying? Like a classic thing, like the Monkey's Paw or something, you know, one of those like horror short stories that like first brought him up and then she just expanded a lot, or if she invented him.
Well, it should come as no surprise to anyone that I don't know the lore of vampires too well. I did enjoy Dracula.
Yeah.
So that was a great book.
Did I just say he was in the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, this character, yep. The vampire Lestat? Yeah. So he's been in more than one movie. So I don't know.
The Sean Connery classic.
And I want to apologize. Anne Rice, she also did the screenplay for this movie. So she was intimately involved with this, the creation of this. So,
All right. Well, if it's good, maybe I'll finally read this book.
Apparently, also, I'm looking here. There was a standalone sequel to this movie. Queen of the Damned came out in 2002.
Oh.
Well, I know this was, she wrote a trilogy, I think, because the book I have is like a collection of all three, like the vampire trilogy or something like that. I remember Queen of the Damned coming out way more than I remember this movie, but I mean, there may be different reasons for that.
I don't think that the Queen of the Damned was as good quality. Like this is more of like a quality film. Like I think Kirsten Dunst won an Oscar.
Not for this movie.
Okay. I know she was nominated, right? She was nominated.
She was nominated for a Golden Globe for this. This was nominated for some Oscars, but for like art direction and score.
Okay. Well, famously her scene, there's like a specific scene in this movie that is like, she does an amazing job and she's like, how old? Like 8?
Pretty young.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. This. 8? Was she that young? She was born in 82. So.
Maybe when did this come out?
Slightly older than that.
Yeah, they made her look young for sure. Yeah.
This came out in 94.
Yeah. Okay, so she's 12.
I'm reading the Wikipedia page. Apparently, Oprah infamously walked out of this movie 10 minutes in.
Yeah.
She couldn't stand all the gore and the dark themes.
Yeah, there's a lot of darkness, especially in the beginning, because I think the main character owns like a plantation in Louisiana. So, and everything that goes with that. I can't remember exactly, though.
Wow. Tom Cruise looks like a little dreamboat in this movie.
Ew, you think so? I think he looks so weird with his blonde hair and blue eyes. I'm like, what?
I guess dreamboat might be a little much. He's definitely younger. It's like, I understand why this movie made 200 and something million dollars. Like, this was like peak Tom Cruise in his youth.
Yeah.
And peak Brad Pitt.
I will say this character is a very different angle than like 90% of Tom Cruise's characters. Mm-hmm. He's not like, what's that other movie that is like the artsy movie he was in where he played like a life coach or something?
Magnolia.
Yeah, it's a little more like, this is a little more like that for him, I would say.
Yeah, Richard, I don't know if we talked about this, but I made Aaron watch Magnolia.
And how did she respond?
She just called it the artsy movie. So that might give you some clues.
Mm, yeah. It's fine.
Yeah. If we ever do another round before we finish this of pretentious picks, it might. Because I recently rewatched Boogie Nights. And was it Paul Thomas Anderson movie? And it was pretty good. I think this movie, Interview with the Vampire, I think one of the demerits of it is the casting. Like, we got all these people in their prime, but necessarily, I don't think maybe they casted the people correctly for this movie.
I'm interested
to see if that holds up.
Yeah, I don't know. Antonio Banderas definitely was. Mm-hmm. The one I have questions about is maybe Christian Slater.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Christian Slater fan myself.
He doesn't.
His voice just drives me crazy.
He doesn't. His thing is, he's like a reporter. So like the whole movie is a retelling. So like that's why it's called Interview with the Vampire, because he's interviewing one of the vampires.
Well,
there's an interview with the vampire in this movie.
Yeah, that's the whole premise. surprise.
Like all these big name people, like Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise, Antonio Banderas, Kirsten Dunst, those four are all, I think, very well known for being in movies where they were incredible and having really great acting skills, and then also being in a bunch of movies where they just phone it in and like live off of their good looks, basically.
Not Brad Pitt.
Yeah, he's definitely phoned it in a couple.
Which?
World War Z. that was a terrible performance.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, I think it's going to be interesting kind of seeing like which, like you have four wild cards basically, which could be like very high ceiling, very low floor. I'm very interested to see how that kind of works out. And because I've never seen this. I don't know if you'll like it.
I don't know.
I think I saw this as a kid and was unsettled by it. I really shouldn't have seen it.
No, you should not have seen it. There's a lot of like sex and blood, and it's very disturbing. It's not scary.
When are you going to learn? Richard watched a lot of things he probably shouldn't have seen.
Well,
when he was a kid.
You know, I remember seeing a lot of like Tales from the Crypt, like episodes young, and I like that. I could handle that really well. And I thought, oh, this movie is just a long version of that. But it wasn't. It was not. I want to be on record, too. I'm not thrilled about Christian Slater. But he was in True Romance, which was a fantastic movie. So
he does some good things. He does some things that he's just absolutely perfect for. Like, he played a psychopath in Heathers. That was exactly right for him.
Well, I hated that
movie. The VCR kids are split on that one. We've already established.
Yeah. Well, any other thoughts on Interview with the Vampire before we get to watching it?
No,
I think that's it.
All right. Well, we're going to go watch that movie. We will talk to y'all in a little bit. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
OK, Okie dokie. We have all watched Interview with the Vampire at various times of the past couple weeks. We got a little behind the whole family dramas and stuff.
We took a vacation, so it ruined the weekend time when we usually do this.
But yeah, we've all seen Interview with the Vampire, and we're here to talk about it. And I got to say right off the bat, I don't know how necessarily like Halloween-y this one is. I mean, it didn't really give me like, honestly, even really a lot of spooky vibes. It just felt very like smoldering, like
smoldering.
I thought it was
like,
it's
like everyone just was like, every single person in this movie was just like so intense, like so just like, I'm saying my lines very low with a lot of meaning behind it because I'm Brad Pitt or Tom Cruise or Antonio Banderas.
Yeah, obviously this does not count for Christian Slater. Like he was not he was not sultry at all, I don't believe.
He was like,
you're a
desperate
vampire.
Yeah, he came across really desperate.
Yeah.
I want to live a horrible life. And murder dozens. That's the life for me.
I think it probably will end up being more than dozens.
Hundreds, yeah. Thousands even.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jay. I'm not sure if this was exactly a Halloween kind of movie. This is all like, for me, like tone and atmosphere. Like it definitely gave kind of a creepy vibe, but you're right. It takes itself so seriously.
Well, and it's also very period for most of it.
Right.
To the point where like when you get back to the parts when it's like not period, it's like, well, this feels really weird now. Like when you see Christian Slater like driving a car, you're like, wait, what is this the same movie that I was just watching?
And they're doing a cassette tape. You know, he like puts the cassette tape in.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh God.
Yeah, it feels wrong in both directions. It both yeah. feels too forward and aged. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. A weird twofer, yep.
And I take it back. There are no dreamboats in this movie.
No one's a dreamboat.
No, they're all pale, weird looking, long haired vampire thingies. So
very accentuated veins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Antonio Banderas, kind of a dreamboat still. I don't know.
Okay. All right. He was like super into Brad Pitt in this movie. That's why they killed the girls.
Uh-huh.
It's a little helper guy.
Yeah,
jealousy.
Everything in this movie, this is like, so I am someone who likes vampire stories and lore and stuff like that. And historically, at least in movies, vampires were kind of used as a way when they couldn't like put sex on screen, right? Like they used vampires to kind of like be that kind of like sexual like energy and controlling and that kind of thing, like when they wanted to have a bad guy but they couldn't have him be like a like show him being abusive, right? Like mm-hmm. kind of thing. So they definitely incorporated that into this movie. Every single scene where they're like sucking someone's blood is incredibly sensual. Which makes it even weirder and creepier that what's her face is in this movie.
Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah, that character is in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's when my Aaron radar went off, is when she entered the picture and became a vampire. And the way that she was interacting with everyone, I was like, oh, Aaron's gonna have a few things to say about this.
Well, I think they explored the issues there well enough. You know, she was like, who did it? Why did you make me? And then like how like bad it turned out. They like kind of showed how bad it turned out when she had like the naked lady corpse in her bed under all her dollies. Like, ay, ay, ay.
Well, the thing that was like really interesting about that scene in particular, I was like, why is this movie like really creeping me out without scaring me? It's just like this disregard for, like, in that scene, she didn't care that there was a corpse there. Like, no one really cared, right? It's like, just clean that out. I think there was that constant, like, through the movie of people just being like, oh, it's whatever. It's that, yeah, we're blood and corpses and, like, stuff like that. And
you just did the vampire voice. You were like, blood and corpses, blood and blood.
except for Brad Pitt. He really cared.
Oh,
yeah, he cared too much.
Yeah,
at the end of it, I kind of agreed with Tom Cruise's character. He was like, I've had to listen to that whining for so long.
Although, Jay, you might get upset about this. We're just really going out of order here. But like that final song, the Guns N' Roses cover of Sympathy for the Devil, I was like, oh,
such a bad song choice for that.
I felt like when Tom Cruise had like the bad blood, and he was like, where's my coffin, right? Like, I wanted to crawl away from the TV after hearing that.
P.S. He was like super gross for like the majority of this movie. He like looked like a reptile for like 50% of this movie.
Mm-hmm. 50%?
Yes.
It was just a very short time.
No, it happened like multiple times. He like came back. And they thought they set him on fire and they didn't. Like, that whole part was terrible. And then when he came back and found him in Louisiana again in like the 80s, that was terrible.
Yeah, that was like two scenes. That wasn't 50% of the movie.
We just looked like crap.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrible.
There's, so I get this whole story is in the envelope of the interview with the vampire, right? Like, Christian Slater is barely in the movie at all. He's just in the beginning and the end scene, is interviewing Brad Pitt because for some reason Brad Pitt wants to tell his story. They don't really like go into why.
Because he's a whiner and he needs someone to commiserate. And he's literally spent his eternal afterlife looking for someone to understand and tell him, like, to agree with him and be like, yes, you know, that sucks for you that you have to kill people. I agree, you should try not to do that. I'm so sorry. And he can never find anyone that's, like, saying that. They're all like, accept it, drink the blood, I want to be like you. Like, so they clearly don't get his sadness, his melancholy. So at a certain point, you have to ask yourself, is it everyone else or is it me?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm just kidding. He shouldn't murder people.
His literal whole his whole thing is he doesn't want to kill people, and that's what he is. He's a vampire. Like, he has to survive. So like, if he didn't want to do that, and he's angry that he has to live this eternal life, just go walk out on the sunrise. Like, it's not. Yeah, there's a way to fix it.
Yeah, he could just do that. But he's just so cowardly. So it's like, you know, I don't know. Whatever. Whatever, sir.
I felt like this movie tried to be more philosophical and deeper than it really was. Yeah. Like, I would hear
100%.
I would hear what they're saying, and it kind of sounds like maybe it's going somewhere and maybe it's cool. And you think about it for an extra second, you go, oh, this is just all, I don't know, kind of nonsense.
Yeah. Well, I thought about that more. I used to think it was more philosophical, you know, when I was younger. But then
this probably should have been a pretentious pick.
Yeah. and then I realized this movie is connected to Queen of the Damned. Queen of the Damned is, you know, with like that golden snake lady vampire. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think we talked about this in the pre-watch.
Right.
Yeah, it's connected to that. And that movie was super stupid. So, like, Lestat joins a rock band. Because he can sing, apparently, even though he's never done it in this movie. He can sing rock and roll.
Wow, we've just flowed right into the sequel here.
So. I don't know. There's just this movie just felt the whole time things were happening. It's like, why are they doing this, right? Like, we establish in the beginning, Lestat turns Brad Pitt into a vampire because it seems like because he like wants a friend to hang out with and like,
yes.
Like he likes him and he seems like Brad Pitt doesn't want to live anymore and he's reckless. And so
they have a meet cute, if you will.
Yeah. So he turns him into a vampire. Brad Pitt hates it. He ends up like secluding himself in his like huge rich boy mansion. And like all of the slaves like are like killing chickens and going to go burn the house down because they know they're vampires. It's like, why is he still hanging out with him? Like, why has he let himself just be like secluded into this mansion? He hates it. He complains about it the whole time.
Because he has like no one else. Like, if he gets rid of Tom Cruise, then what?
No, I mean, why is Tom Cruise still there?
Because because he's a bit of a leech. Like, he's just, because then he starts saying this is our house and our money. And it's like, excuse me, sir. None of this is yours. So he like likes to be like a rich guy, live that high life, but he has no money. Right. So he needs Louis. He stays around because he was like super PO'd when Louis burned his house down and, you know, like made it so they couldn't stay there. He's like, great, just great.
Which was hilarious in the movie. Like Brad Pitt burning his house down and Tom Cruise just casually going, oh, well, this is wonderful. This is wonderful. Yeah. Where are we going to live now?
Right. And then he's like, now you're in a cemetery. Are you happy with yourself? He's like treating him like the teenage son that, you know what I mean?
Right.
Or like, never mind. I'm not going to say that. It was just a first grade story, but I don't want to say it.
Yeah. And then I kind of am dim on the details until they meet Kirsten Dunst. Basically, it seems like Louis is just like moping around and trying to eat rats all over the city or something.
Yeah, he's like made up his mind to leave Lestat. He's like, he gets to a point where he's like, I don't need this. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna leave him. And so then Lestat creates the little girl because Louis, you know, he's a family man. So he's going to stay and protect her and look after her. You know, and right. So it forces him to stay.
And I Kirsten Dunst is like the as creepy as it was. That was maybe my favorite part of this movie. Because I think Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise are so over the top constantly.
Yeah.
Like, especially.
They're smoldering. They're just smoldering the whole movie.
Yeah. It finally, because she was supposed to be kind of innocent. So there was more naturalness to her acting. I really liked that a lot. I mean, it was just like a breath of fresh air with vampires versus how, once again, how serious they made everything by their voice.
Just there's, like, I do really also feel it was interesting how they kind of, how her character was like, we mentioned it with the dolls before, but like, we don't really know how long she was with them. We kind of, I think, assume that it was years and years, but she has all this like worldly experience, but she still is not like mentally developed to the point to be able to handle a lot of it. And I think that was written really well. But it also did give a lot of really kind of creepy, awkward, weird conversations between like her and Brad Pitt about how much they love each other. And
right.
I don't know. It was really weird.
Yeah. Even other characters in the movie, other vampires are like, y'all are having sex. And he's like, no, we're not lovers. It's unsettling.
Yeah.
That relationship.
Yeah, but you also kind of get the vibe that like maybe she wants to like maybe she's like romantically interested in it. It's really weird.
Yeah, but she like is older. Like it's been like 30 or 40 years. So she's like right. A 30 or 40 year old. So I feel like she's just shooting her shot constantly.
Yeah, and Tom Cruise is like, that's why you're or was it Tom Cruise? Someone was like, this is why you don't do this with young people.
Maybe it was Antonio Banderas.
Yeah. He's like,
oh, and there's that really weird mime vampire.
Yeah, his like assistant. They're like a troop of like playwrights that live in this like weird crumbling coven underneath the theater of that they. Because they live in the catacombs of Paris is where they are.
And they do plays where they strip people naked and murder them. And for some reason, you get the feeling that they do these plays pretty frequently. And everyone in the audience freaks out and runs away. But for some reason, they have a full crowd every night. Like, you would think word would get around. Like, y'all, don't go to that play down the corner. It's really disturbing.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's part of the whole point of the movie, right? Like, we have this attraction to this violence and this, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, that was Brad Pitt's thing, right? He lost his will to live and he chose this path. And the whole movie is him regretting it. Mm-hmm. So it's this tension between us being attracted to this animalistic, violent thing, but then repelling, like,
I will say. I didn't understand at first why they killed Claudia. I was like, why? And I had to look it up. And then I was like, oh, Antonio Banderas was like into Brad Pitt. And then the mime vampire got jealous. So the mime vampire organized like retribution on Brad Pitt, which was to kill the thing he loved, Claudia. She was a good excuse because she shouldn't have existed.
Well, they also said they seem to be sort of like some like a vampire council mm-hmm. for they were in what, France, right?
Yeah, Paris, I think they were in Paris, yeah.
And so they kind of seem to be like also the ones who enacted vampire justice. Like, they pretty much said as soon as they met them, like, she should not be, like, we need to kill her. Like, yeah. So anyway, the Kirsten Dunst turns another woman into a vampire because now she wants a mom. And that's just a whole other weird thing.
And she officially has like the shortest shelf life of any vampire in cinema.
You lasted
maybe.
One day. Congratulations.
They end up in the well getting toasted, turned to ash.
Yeah.
And then
Brad Pitt.
Yeah, and then Brad Pitt gets angry and takes out a lathe?
A scythe.
Scythe, yeah.
Yeah, he just kills
them all. Takes a scythe and just scythes all the vampires.
Which I didn't know you could just chop them up and that's how you can kill them.
Yeah, it's a little unclear. I mean, because like Tom Cruise gets burnt and there's this whole thing. Like
chopping a head off.
And they like heal very quickly.
Yeah, well, chopping a vampire's head off is one of the traditional classic methods to killing a vampire.
Right.
Well, you have to like chop off the head and then like bury it in another place, basically. Like, right? Like,
yeah. The three methods are stake to the heart, chop off the head, or expose to sunlight.
Well, I think they said multiple times in this movie the stake in the heart thing doesn't work in this universe.
It's so annoying. I'm sorry. Like every single vampire thing has to bend the rules. It has to come up with the ones that are for real and the ones that aren't. Like, it's always like, oh, that's BS, but this is for real. Like, but they're always different ones. It's always different ones. It's stupid. Just go with the classic, you dummies.
Oh.
It makes it easy for everyone. You're not unique. You're doing the same thing everybody else is doing. Stephanie Meyer took it as far as you can go with the we can't go out in the sunlight because my skin will sparkle like a diamond. Like, that's the dumbest one yet. But.
Wow.
But I mean, they all do it to a degree. They all do it. It's obnoxious.
Well, to be honest, like, I didn't realize, and maybe this is a very not so hot take. Are vampires supposed to be kind of like cats? Are they supposed to be a little feline? Because in this movie, they were like predators, and they were biting, and they were fast, and they seemed more feline than other movies with vampires to me.
Which, speaking of somehow a lizard got into our house today. And
I don't know how.
And Jim murdered it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You remember
And Holly was like freaking out. Like I was
barking
like,
at him, like, barking stop, at? Stop, like, what is, stop.
Because usually she barks at the window, like at neighbors or at squirrels or stuff like that. And she was like barking in the office. I was like, what is she barking at? She can't see out the window. And I came in and she had Jim in a corner and Jim had this lizard hanging out of his mouth. And he was just sitting there like, rrr, rrr. And she was like, no, you can't do that. No.
I just realized it's something else. Like live people in this movie are kind of like muggles in the Harry Potter universe. Like they're just disposable and not really important at all to the story. Like people were being murdered left and right at the beginning of this. Like they were at parties just eating people.
Yeah.
But didn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah. There's also quite a bit of nudity in this movie.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
Dead nudity. I wouldn't say it happens live like nudity.
Well, I guess kind of frequently, but it's very long and like not.
No male nudity.
No. Which is unfortunate. Like Antonio Banderas, that was, come on. That would have been nice.
We already saw him naked in The Mask of Zorro. Wow.
Did we?
I think we saw his butt.
Oh. Well, I can see who he left an impression on.
So you're right. Yeah, the whole thing of him confessing, other than him being a whiner, like, what is he doing about this? What is, because then Tom Cruise pops in at the end. He's like, oh, yeah, this is good. Starts driving the car.
Yeah. I think Louis secretly very codependent. Like he says he's living a life that he doesn't care about, like stoically, but yet he keeps telling this story and hoping someone's going to give him the reaction he wants. And it never happens. And he's like, I've failed again. The universe is an existential failure. It's like, no.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So like he didn't hear him. He's just like us as the audience who's just going to love this movie and the box office and the blood. We love it. And so he's like Tom Cruise just cleaned that up. Like, God, he's not worth it. Like, go kill him. Is that what that was? Like no, he's helping out his buddy?
No, he's like he like comes in with Christian Slater like, God, wasn't that annoying? Do you want to be a vampire, though? I'll let you choose. You know, like,
probably be better than the last one.
Yeah.
Well, I was just saying at the end, why did Tom Cruise all of a sudden pop in? Was he just like,
so
on the
bridge? Wanted to drive that car.
The Golden Gate Bridge. So yeah, there's no.
The author loves that character. I like read a little background of it. She loves that character. So she had to let him have the last laugh. And that's really it.
He wanted to drive. He wanted to listen to the Guns N' Roses cover.
This movie was fantastic until that song happened.
I lived for centuries and never has music sounded as good as this.
Speaking of the music, the original score for this, not bad. I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was very, once again, I felt like this movie sounded and looked a lot better than it had any business looking and sounding.
I did feel like it was a high quality movie. Like the subject matter is a little bit cheesy. Like we're definitely not in Twilight territory. Like this is, you know, but then like this is, I think, one of the more classic of the novels. Like there's actually some like tension and like thought drama, and it's not just like let's be vampires and do crazy vampire stuff because we're vampires and we can do crazy vampire stuff, which a lot of vampire novels devolve into. So this one was actually like a, you know, it had like dilemma, like philosophical thought, like whether it fully was successful in that. But maybe it would have come across better in the book when you can't see them be smoldery and dramatic, you know. Mm-hmm. But I thought this was good.
Yeah. Do you guys think it holds up?
It's a bit pretentious, but yes.
Yeah, I thought it was fun enough. I would recommend not showing it to someone just starting to eat at the scene where he kills the rat for the first time and like does the blood in the cup, because Renee lasted about 20 seconds in this movie and was like, nope, cut it off. We're watching Jeopardy.
Yeah, if you're easily disturbed, I wouldn't recommend.
Yeah.
Nor showing this to a child.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, don't watch this as a kid. If you're a kid,
didn't Richard say he did?
Well, yeah, I watched everything that was inappropriate as a kid. So.
Yeah, I wouldn't, because we had touched on that. Also, I just want to say in the beginning intro, I questioned like if Lestat was a classic character that the author, I forget her name, that she revamped, or if she invented him, she invented Lestat. So I don't know. Right. I don't understand why he was in the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen with the other classic literature characters. But
are you talking about Anne Rice? This?
Yeah. Anne Rice.
I don't know if I would say that this held up for me. I don't know if I would watch it again. It felt so long, and so much of it was just like, I maybe it's because Brad Pitt was so whiny, and it was just like, I don't care about his character at all. And so I don't care what happens to him in this movie, and all the interesting people are coming and going and like not sticking around for much of it. I just have to sit and listen to this whiner all the time. And then everyone is just like smoldering, and there's no real like dynamics in the movie. Like, it's just all at the same level for so much of it that I don't know. It was not my favorite at all. It was well made. I will give it, like, it looks great. Everyone who's in it is doing a great job. It's just not my favorite.
I will say this movie does make me want to watch Bram Stoker's Dracula from 1992. Like the Francis
we
Ford Coppola.
A while ago.
Yeah, oh. It's okay. I would just read the book. They definitely play up a love connection, and that doesn't exist. Like, just read the book or listen to the book on tape, Dracula. Because that's like it's a bit hard to get through because it's like 1800s language, but it's like creepy and genuinely good.
Well,
it was interesting. You should watch it.
I was about to say, in the intro, I love Dracula the book. So I was just wondering how it compared, because that came 2 years before this movie, and so like how does it compare as a vampire? Like,
listen, movie? I will always, if anyone wants to watch that movie with me again, I'm always down for watching Gary Oldman dressed in shiny red armor throwing himself all over a room screaming and I don't know, Turkish or something.
Keanu Reeves definitely almost ruins it though, because they make him be British.
Oh yeah, I think his accent is infamous in that one. Yeah.
Yeah, so you just have to just ignore it. Just ignore it. So.
Well, anyway, I think we are a week off, so our last Halloween movie will probably come out a couple days after Halloween, but. That's life. This is our last Spooktober, so deal with it. And
we do our best. We do.
And next week, provided no other
bumps in the
craziness
road.
Happens, we should be watching my pick, which is Final Destination. And
can't wait.
Any other closing thoughts you guys have about this one?
No.
I used to like vampires when I was a kid. I don't know if I like them anymore. I don't know. I don't know if I like anything spooky anymore, really.
I like them.
Renee's ruined you.
I don't like Twilight, though.
Yeah, which is what Renee enjoys. So
I used to like Twilight. I really did. And then I was like, what?
And then I ruined you.
Because it took so long for the movies to come out, and I was like trying to watch them, and I just like couldn't hold it together. Like seeing it on screen, it just made me realize.
Yeah. Although there is a Chucky TV show now, so I might have to dive into that. I don't know. Anyways, I'm sorry, Jay. We could talk about spooky stuff all day.
All right. Well, we will talk to you more hopefully next week, and keep it spooky. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Shoulder.
Cats.
Radio.
Dot com.